The Afternoon Live Podcast with Anthony Martin. Listen in live on Hospedia Channel 1. Online at coastway.org.uk. Or on the TuneIn app Wednesdays from 1 on Coastway Hospital Radio for Brighton.
Tomorrow night, Duke Special takes to the stage here in Brighton at the Comedia as part of a UK and Ireland tour. Now, he's recently released his newest album, Lookout Machines, and I caught up with him to speak about his music inspirations and the eclectic work that he's had over the years. But first, this is a song that featured on his first album, Adventures in Gramophone, back in 2005. This is Freewheeling. Right, so on the phone with me right now, I've got Duke Special. Hiya.
Hello.
Hernings. So you've got a new album out at the moment called Lookout Machines. How should that title be taken? Is it a commentary on technology, or are you kind of looking out for some machines or maybe crossing the road or something?
No, it's the artwork is inspired by early 1900s sci-fi comics. And the kind of guy on the front of the album is, if you look closely, he's holding like an unplugged plug. Okay. So he's pulled the plug in the machines, and I like the idea of just this battle between humans and machines. It could be technology, it could be other things, it could be systems, it could be ways of thinking.
Yeah.
Whatever, anything that prevents us or hinders us from being human.
Yeah, I suppose the album cover, as you mentioned, it's a bit kind of War of the Worlds kind of esque, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's the jumping off point for me was looking at old Buck Rogers comics from early 1900s. They've been around for a long time before the TV series. That was kind of the starting point.
Okay, now this is your fifth solo album and the first from Duke Special in 3 years. It was recorded in Eastbourne, just up the road, where you recorded your first ever EP. Did you go into making this album looking to draw a line under what has come before, or is it like a mark of an evolution of your music?
Well, it's about the 11th recording. I think in some quarters it's seen as like the fourth or fifth studio record, but I've done about 11 different releases. Some of them have been more conceptual, like songs about old photographs and plays, and one about a Paul Auster novel and all kinds of stuff. So for me it's just a natural evolution, I suppose, of what's gone before, and I'd kind of done I'd done some records which were quite orchestral and had that kind of sound. But for every record I've done, I want it to sound in its own world, its own landscape. And in the demos for this record, I was working with a friend, and our demos kind of were using a lot of synthetic drums and strings, and it just felt really cool to continue in that manner.
Yeah.
To the end. And although there are some real drums and real strings and stuff, it does have that kind of slightly 80s synthetic pop kind of sound. So in some ways it is a little bit of a departure, but it for me it was just like it's like I approach every record where just I want to have certain parameters on the sounds that we use.
We flew in tight formation, acrobatic spill and roll. We were neighbors.
Yeah, you mentioned the being commissioned, I guess, by the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. You wrote some music based on a collection of photographs, and you also wrote some music for a production at the National Theatre in London. How did those opportunities come about?
They've all come about like by accident, or just by me playing somewhere and someone approaching me and saying, would I be interested in this? And I've always loved kind of venturing on a road less trodden, I suppose, where it's not just the normal thing about desperately trying to get something on the radio. You know, that doesn't really interest me so much as an artist. It's about what kind of inspires you, and you know. And for the photographs, it was the thought of writing songs based on these images, some of which are well over 100 years old. It was just wonderful. And because as a songwriter, you're constantly, your antennae is up for inspiration. And you know, it's the equivalent of discovering like a manuscript under your floorboards with all these, you know, ideas and thoughts and lyrics. And, you know, that it's a dream kind of idea to write about. And it was the same with the play as well. It was, it's a Bertolt Brecht play written in the 1930s. And it was in modern translation by a guy called Tony Kushner, a playwright who wrote the screenplay, for example, for Abraham Lincoln, for Lincoln film, the Spielberg film. And so he'd done the translation, and it was just a sparkling kind of dialogue. And then, of course, Brecht had written all the lyrics for the song. So again, those are translations by Tony Kushner as well. So it was just an absolute delight to kind of wade into this really unknown territory to me, and to kind of try and swim.
Yeah. And do you think those experiences have influenced kind of how you approach music now, or?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I just see so many more possibilities, and I'm currently writing for another play called based on Gulliver's Travels,
okay.
Which is going to be in Belfast. So I'm writing music for that. So yeah, I think it just suddenly pulled down walls that I imagined were there, which aren't the kind of possibilities of what you can, where you can go with music, and what kind of art forms you can collaborate with.
Yeah. And do you think, I suppose, has it had any influence on the genre of music you like? Is that the same as before, as when you started off, or has that changed or evolved?
Well, you know, I'm constantly, as any musician probably tell you, you know, you're constantly being exposed to music you haven't heard before, and as well as music that you continually go back to that kind of resonates with you. So, of course, all those things will have, I'm digesting all those things, but also I'm digesting things that I hear, recommendations and different music that I come across, you know.
Yeah.
Most recently I've been listening to like Jose Gonzalez's new record, which is just beautiful, and Sinead O'Connor's new record, and so lots of modern things as well. But I suppose the sensibilities that you have within you, that are almost without, they're not a deliberate thing, they're things that you grew up with. So for me, that would have been like church hymns and like songs that, you know, records that my sisters had and all that kind of thing. So those are kind of like a given. They're kind of they're like the base colors, and then you have all these other nuances that you're constantly trying out and seeing if they fit you.
Yeah, so you pick up things as you go along, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It feels like it's a Monday every day. The steam is going to melt. I traded all my looks for smokes and drink.
How long did it take you to write Lookout Machines? Because I read you've kind of you wrote different tracks in different cities across the UK. You wrote some in Ely and Dundee and Belfast and London. Did it take a while? Did you find it quite hard to get into the process of writing this one, or was it waiting for it to see where it went?
Yeah, I kind of knew I wanted to do something that was more kind of immediate, more direct, not so concept based, and I love writing. I actually really enjoy collaborating with other people, because people that I admire or that I have a chemistry with in terms of writing. And I also really focuses me, because I'm, you know, I have a lot on, kind of doing lots of different things. And I kind of wanted just to almost just put myself out there and go, right, I'm going to do lots and lots and lots of writing, and hopefully the album will emerge from that. That's how it was. So I kind of went in for writing with people I've written with before, which some of those songs stayed as they are. Some of them I kind of used an initial idea and then took away and changed, or then trying other things with people I'd never met before, writers admired. And it was a case of, okay, we've got 4 hours to come up with something, let's just go for it and try.
Yeah.
And some of those didn't end up in the record, and that's okay, but some of them did, and all of them will have, you know, caused me to grow as a writer. So it was a really great experience, actually, and just felt really natural, and it was lovely to allow the songs to become whatever they wanted to be, as opposed to any kind of prescriptive initial concept or idea. As much as I enjoyed that as well, that was really refreshing. But it was equally refreshing this time just to go, right, this is just going to be a snapshot of where I'm at, an album of songs that can be whatever they want, and this is what it was meant.
Yeah, that's quite good. And this album and the your last one as well, Oh Pioneer, have both been released with something called Pledge Music.
Yeah, the first one I did with Pledge was the triple record in 2009.
Oh, right.
Stage Book and the Silver Screen, because it was like a, you know, one was about the Brecht play, one was about the Paul Auster novel, and one was an unfinished musical by Kurt Vile about Huckleberry Finn.
Okay.
So they didn't feel particularly commercial,
yeah,
you know, that a record label might approach. So I was my first collaboration with Pledge, and it was a, yeah, it's, sorry I interrupted you, but you probably said it's like a way of working with a fan base to generate the funds to put the record out. So that was my first experience, and this is only the second time I've done it for this record. The last one was just independently released.
Yeah, because I see. I suppose those albums you mentioned, would they have been difficult to release with a conventional record label, do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I mean, even from the description, I would say yes. It was interesting, and for me, artistically fulfilling as they were to make. Yeah, they're a hard sell, you know, if you're trying to speak purely in commercial terms.
Yeah.
So I think they'll always be this way, where some records will be more prone or more liable to be able to be played in the radio. Thus, record labels will be more interested in them, and some of them are purely artistic endeavors that I believe there's an audience for, but are going to be a harder sell for a conventional record label. So that's the joy of Pledge, where if you have a fan base that are with you and they get what you're doing, you can go ahead and make those kind of records, you know, and I feel really lucky that way.
And what made you, what prompted the decision to go back again for this album then?
Well, it had been 6 years since I'd last done that, and I don't think it's always good or healthy to go knocking on your fans' doors and saying, you know, do you want to pay up front for something they haven't heard yet? So, yeah, it just felt, I was really excited about the collection of songs I'd written, and we really wanted to do it well. So we started with Pledge. A label's actually got involved, label called Stranger Records. And so they've come on board just once we've made the record, and they're, we've licensed it to them, and they're doing a great job putting it out there, and all the promotion and stuff that goes with that. You set on a quest for knowledge.
Now, you're kind of on record a proud ambassador of Northern Irish music. What's the most exciting new act you've come across in the past year or so from the North?
Well, one person I've been touring with on this tour is a girl called Soak, who is doing really great. She's only 17, from Derry, and she's already been, she was in BBC Sounds of 2015 kind of shortlist.
Okay.
So she's great. Bands like Wonder Villains, David C. Clements is about to bring out a new record. He's amazing. O Volcanoes, Foy Vance, good friend, Rams Pocket Radio, Verse Chorus Verse. There's so many great and diverse acts. Robin G. Shields. Yeah, there's a hell of a lot going on, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of thriving music scene at the moment in the North, isn't there?
Yeah, I just think it's now no longer a backwater, or seemed to be a backwater, and the success acts that have gone before, I think, made people sit up and take notice, you know, acts like Snow Patrol and Ash and Divine Comedy and people. So I think, we're just getting on with it, really. And but the whole island of Ireland is just it's full of amazing talent. So, yeah, as you well know.
Yeah. Do you think it's more difficult or easier these days, though, for new bands to get the music out there and to achieve success or commercial success?
I think it's obviously easier to make a record. You can do that at home, and you can put it all up online at home. But still, you've got the, it's about getting yourself noticed, being heard. And I think the downside of you know, the music scene being flooded with so many things, of course there's stuff that isn't as good as other things. Also, the only things that are, you know, have a huge amount of money put behind them are what you hear in the charts, a lot of which is very homogenized, and and uninteresting, I would say. It's not the, you know, it's like people, general public who maybe don't have the chance to read music magazines or wouldn't go to a lot of smaller gigs, are being force-fed this shite. You know, it's true though. Yeah. And you kind of want to go, you want to scream, no, no, no. You think that's good? Where do you hear this?
Yeah.
And that's the travesty, is that the best music people probably haven't heard.
Yeah.
You know.
Now you're in the middle of a UK and Ireland tour at the moment. How does it feel to be back on the road with new music performing?
Yeah, it's been great actually. I mean, I'm careful not to. The record's out now, but up until I'd done like 21 dates around Ireland and another 12 or so around UK, and now the album's out, so I'm back on the road of another 11 shows now that people have had a chance to hear the record. So up till now I've been careful not to play too many of the new ones. I kind of want to gently introduce them, like good friends to me, that you're introducing the strangers to other people. So you kind of want to not overdo it. So I'm excited now that maybe some people coming to the shows will have actually heard the record. And then back in London, Belfast and Dublin in May with a full band, kind of representing them. Because on this tour, I've stripped away a lot of the sounds, and it's been me and a piano, a little pump organ, and a few bits and pieces. So, which has been really lovely, because you can kind of, it's lovely to hear the song standing up without the bells and whistles. But I'm excited for May to kind of come out with a band that it's going to sound a bit more like the record as well.
Are you any plans for festivals this year?
Yeah, I'm doing a few. I'm playing Glastonbury, which is going to be fun.
Oh, good.
And a handful of others, Beautiful Days, down in Exeter, Greenbelt in Peterborough. So a few, and over to Europe hopefully as well.
Now you're playing in Brighton tomorrow night at the Comedia, which you've played in before. It's quite an intimate venue for gigs. Do you prefer those smaller venues?
I think for when I'm playing on my own, it's nice to play those smaller venues, because when I'm on my own, I have a chance to recount some of the stories behind the songs, which a lot of my songs do have stories and are kind of little narratives. So I think that really lends itself well to a smaller venue, a more intimate setting. But I do love there's a rush and an energy of the bigger venues, when, you know, particularly when playing with a band or at least a drummer, where it's more about the show and the spectacle, and as well as the songs. So I actually love the variety. But I think on this occasion, it'll be right to do it like that.
Yeah. And after the tour, what's next for Duke Special?
The Gulliver's Travels play, which has songs in it. I'm writing a song for a short film. I'm recording songs for children's animation in South of Ireland.
Okay.
I think hopefully America and later in the year. And then back to writing, I think. Yeah, I really kind of want to keep pushing that and be hopefully a journeyman in terms of writing, whether it's for a record or not, just to keep documenting and seeing where I can go with that.
Best of luck with all that. Thanks very much for talking to us today, and
thank you.
Continue success.
Thanks so much. Bye.
The Afternoon Live Podcast with Anthony Martin. Listen in live on Hospedia Channel 1, online at coastway.org.uk, or on the TuneIn app Wednesdays from 1 on Coastway Hospital Radio for Brighton.